This podcast is brought to you by Audible. Visit audibletrial.com/CSR to download your free audiobook. Again, that's audibletrial.com/CSR for a free audiobook.
And by The Country Squire. Visit thecountrysquireonline.com to discover custom pipes, handcrafted blends, and unparalleled customer service. TheCountrySquireOnline.com.
We thank them for their support of this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD.
Hey, Bo. Good evening, man.
Man, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Well, you know, I just got home or got here from the tobacco shop. And
Yeah,
you poured me a nice glass of scotch.
And, dude, that's the way we do it. So
it's snowing outside in Jackson, Mississippi, which means everything is shut down. And anyway,
we're here.
We're warming ourselves up.
There you go.
Cheers.
You know, for those who are joining us live, good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome to Podastery, or welcome to
Podastery Studios.
Yeah, Podastery Studios, Country Squire Radio After Dark.
That's right.
So
it's a rare treat.
That's right. That's right.
In the Deep South, we're not used to snow at all, and so when you know, when things like this happen, people like babysitters or whatever can't they just decide not to work,
and daycare, schools,
the government shuts down, everything. Banks are closed. Like, you know, my roommate is originally from Pennsylvania, and he was actually angry when he was informed that he got off work today. I mean, he was like, he was thankful for the day off, but he was like, really? Really?
Dude.
I mean, there was less than an inch of snow, and he's like, you know, people up north, they're having to, like, put chains on their tires and stuff.
So here's what it is, and
we're pitiful.
I here's the thing, though. I totally get where he's coming from, because I'm like that, too. Especially,
right.
You know, my wife's from Michigan.
Right.
When we were living in Memphis, you know, we get snow in Memphis.
There's a little more snow, yeah.
But the thing is, you know, Memphis is not as well equipped to handle snow as Michigan.
Yeah.
And Jackson is even less equipped to handle snow than Memphis.
Right.
You know, because it's just, it doesn't happen all that
often. It just doesn't happen.
So we don't have like this huge reserve of sand and everything else to go ahead and do that. Well, and then, of course, the other thing is, none of these people know how to drive.
That's right. That's what makes it
worse. Including myself. I get out there and I'm freaking out on the road.
Right.
So,
on my way to the pipe shop this morning, I slid a couple times before I was like, and I was already going like 20 miles an hour and I had to cut it back. It was kind of scary. So we made it.
Yeah. Well, you know, such is life. The show must go on.
And it will. And we're here.
So we are doing it. And happy if you are able to join us live this evening.
Yeah. Yeah.
A little bit of news. So for those of you in the local Jackson area,
right,
and really the kind of central Mississippi and beyond, the Jackson Pipe Club,
yes,
is having its, this isn't necessarily the first meeting, but this is the first off-site meeting, right?
That's right. Yeah, it's actually the second meeting of the Jackson Pipe Club. We are meeting socially. It's not a formal meeting, but kind of a social at Old Tavern on George Street, which used to be called George Street Grocery, and down there by Two Sisters, you know, restaurant down next to the Capitol,
right,
and the Supreme Court building. And
nice little place.
Yeah, one of the Pipe Club members has actually graciously offered to pay for basically the entire rental of their smoking lounge.
Oh,
so,
nice.
Man, pipe smoke filling up George Street. It's gonna be a lot of fun. Man, I'm really excited. Some good. Good beer, good eats, and a lot of pipe smoke. It'll be a lot of fun.
I'm excited, yeah, man.
So if you're local, please come hang out.
I haven't been there. You know, they used to do a trivia night, and I was there almost every single week for that trivia night.
Yeah.
And then they shut that down. So I'm excited to go back. It's a nice little place.
Yeah. One other piece of news, Bo, that I actually didn't mention to you before we got ready. So if Bo reacts weirdly, it's because I didn't prep him for this. But we actually had a large acquisition of estate pipes at the
right.
Country Squire
yeah.
this week. It really interesting. This very, very kind gentleman. He's actually a Catholic priest here in Mississippi. His name is Pat Smith, the Reverend Pat Smith. But
okay.
Father Pat. He actually recently decided, you know, just hadn't smoked his pipes in a while, and decided to kind of unload them. And we, you know, very closely worked with him on kind of working out an arrangement. And anyway, the Country Squire is, we just received these pipes, about to clean them up, go through them, categorize them, and all that stuff. But anyway, in the near future, if you're local or if you're out of town, you know, we're going to hope to put a bunch of these pipes online. But we've got I mean, it's upwards of, you know, 175 estate pipes.
Whoa, dude.
A bunch of pipes, yeah.
I remember.
A really, really beautiful collection.
I saw, I think, a few. Did you, was one of them the carved with the, like, shamrock in the side of it?
No, that was actually a pipe that we've had at the store for a while.
Okay. Yeah. I saw it because I did see that one go up today and actually shared that picture on the Facebook.
Yeah, that was a cool pipe. Yeah, that's cool.
Well, awesome. I can't wait to check those out.
Anyway, check it out. Yeah, stay tuned for all that. We'll have more information on that later.
Estate pipes are so cool because it really is like looking at somebody's personal history.
It is. They've got a story. A pipe is a very intimate item, you know, and especially one that's well used and well maintained. It's something that's taken care of really well. Man, that's a history.
Absolutely.
In its own.
And, you know, one thing that we want to do, in fact, we actually, you know, next week, you will not be in the studio.
Right.
Taking a sabbatical for a week.
That's right.
And so we may or may not have a special guest host with us at that time. But what we're wanting to do is do a listener-centric episode. So basically what we would like to happen is if you have a certain pipe and like a story around a certain pipe of yours or a favorite tobacco that you want to review or really anything, send them into the show, csr@podastery.com. And hopefully we'll get a chance to get through all of them. If not, we'll kind of split it up over a second episode down the road. But send those into the show. We want to hear from you guys, and we want to hear what your personal stories are with a particular pipe or a really cool pipe smoking experience.
Yeah, and you know, just your personal history with pipes too. I mean, that's one thing that y'all have contributed so well to the show, and I mean, we're just overwhelmed with the grace and participation y'all have given to us. So yeah, we won't have any problem filling up that half hour at all.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. All right. Well, let's go ahead and dive into our topic today.
Yeah, man.
Dude, this is, so
what's our topic?
We've got our various series that we have going on, right? We just started the Tobacco Talk series where we'll review pipe tobacco.
Right.
But we've also got our series that we opened up several weeks back, Heroes of the Bowl. And in this series, each of us take a pipe-smoking hero of ours, one from history, one from fiction. Typically, you pick from history, I pick from fiction, as that's kind of where our knowledge and our background lies. Mm-hmm. And so, man, I'm excited.
Yeah, this will be a fun one. You want me to start?
Dude, kick it off.
Yeah, I'll start. Well, as any pipe smoker in Mississippi would be well aware of, William Faulkner, one of our local heroes, of course, was a famous pipe smoker and someone that was very invested, in his pipe and kind of in the art of it. Faulkner, of course, Pulitzer Prize winning author, Nobel Prize winning author, from the early, late 19th century or early 20th century. I think he died in the 50s, maybe.
Right.
I forget the exact dates of his life, but William Faulkner, incredible person from outside of like Holly Springs and Oxford, Mississippi.
His house is still in Oxford, right?
His house is still in Oxford, and he actually lived there later in life. As I was doing some research for tonight's show, I kind of got to learn that. But yeah, his house is just outside, or it's just in Oxford, and it was a home that he acquired later in life. It's called Rowan Oak, Rowanoak. Two words, and a beautiful home. What they've done is actually used it kind of as a Faulkner museum. And so it's funny, as they have gone through that house, they have found cans of tobacco over the years, like hidden in certain places, where he just kind of had them stowed away. So Faulkner, of course, a great author. He was very fond of his Dunhill pipes. So he definitely liked to prefer to a good pipe, a very good pipe.
Yeah.
Dunhills are, of course, kind of the Rolls Royce of the current pipe world.
Top tier.
And they've been that way for a long time. So Faulkner liked a Dunhill. Most pictures of him are with a straight billiard. Billiard bowl, straight pipe. A lot of the ones he had seemed to have, or maybe it was one that he used over and over, but seemed to have like a silver band on it.
Right.
Very, very comfortable with that, kind of a medium-sized bowl, maybe a Group 3 bowl. But Faulkner, a fan of the Latakia, big Dunhill 965 smoker. And there's also, I forget the actual code for it, but there was another Dunhill mixture that got lost through time that he was very fond of. And there's a lot of question about what that was and kind of where that came from. But anyway, Faulkner, very, very engaged in that. And he would spend meticulous amounts of, or just incredible amounts of time cleaning his pipes and, you know, just kind of organizing and all this stuff. But it was very much a part of his ritual. This is someone that wrote prolifically. I mean, we're talking about not just one of the greatest Southern authors in American history, but one of the greatest American authors. And this is a person that, you know, he said, I love his quote. He, you know, he basically said the most important things that make me productive are something like, you know, contemplative thought, whiskey and tobacco. You know what I mean? I mean, that was just him in a nutshell.
Right.
Incredible figure and, you know, just eat up with the love of the pipe.
Now, for a time, he actually lived in New Orleans, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct?
I'm actually not sure about that. Well, yeah. I know he lived in Virginia. He was the author in residence at UVA for
a
while. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. My brother was at UVA, and they're big on some Faulkner.
They're big on Faulkner. He was the author in residence there for a while. And, yeah, actually, I think he was there through the maybe the 40s and the 50s. Yeah. So, you know, just really incredible person, very contemplative. If you've ever read Faulkner, I'm sorry, because it's really dense. I know, you know, as Mississippians, we kind of feel like there's this obligation to read Faulkner. And, you know, those of us that are really into our local culture, which are most of us, do. But, you know, Faulkner is he's a hard one to get through for some folks. It's lots of stream of consciousness writing. And so you'll have like 3 pages worth of just stream of consciousness, and it's one sentence with no punctuation, all in italics, and, you know, it's just the kind of thought process of, you know, some young child or, you know, whomever, and it just really fascinating, but it can be kind of dense, yeah, it'd be kind of hard to get through, particularly Sound and the Fury, that one was tough, but there's a reason he's so celebrated, because his work is just magnificent, very vivid illustrations throughout Faulkner.
You know, I know why I'm thinking about that he must have lived in New Orleans. There's a in the French Quarter on Pirate Alley, actually. There's a library called, I think it's called William Faulkner Library. Mm-hmm. And it's just a really small, I mean, just kind of tucked away little apartment almost, and it is I mean, every single wall has been converted into a bookshelf, and it contains all of his works and a bunch of different works about him. I'm not sure though if he actually lived there or not. It might just be kind of dedicated to him.
It may be. But I'm not familiar with that either.
Yeah, one of our New Orleans listeners from the New Orleans Pipe Club. Let us know right in the show. Let us know.
That's right. Yeah, we've heard from some of y'all. We'd love to. Yeah, please correct us on all this. It's funny you mentioned Pirate's Alley. The squire, the country squire, for years had a tobacco called Pirate's Alley.
Is that right?
We did, and I just have to interject this because it's way too appropriate, and you mentioned it, but. Anyway, it was a heavy, heavy Perique blend. And at first, apparently years ago when it kind of debuted, you know, very, you know, a lot of people rushed into it thinking, okay, we'll try this Perique blend. And then, but then as people kind of smoked it over the years, it just got kind of unsmokable.
Oh, wow.
it was one of those blends that's like, man, I mean, it's got a lot of Perique and I'd like to think of myself as a strong tobacco smoker, but I can't smoke that.
Yeah.
So anyway, eventually Pirate's Alley was kind of put to rest because it was such a harsh blend. Of course, being from Louisiana, of course, Pirate Alley in New Orleans, they wanted to do something with heavy Perique,
sure,
which is Louisiana tobacco. And so anyway, we are... Pirate's Alley is no more. We are in the current process of resurrecting that blend.
Oh, yeah.
And so we want to do something that's very much, you know, in the spirit of the old Pirate's Alley. Heavy Perique, you know, maybe not quite so angry, though. Something a little more smokable.
If you're thinking about a different name for it, too, I've got some idea. I'll tell you, but we'll talk about that.
Okay.
In fact, I was just thinking, actually, of if that was my style blend, because, you know, as listeners will know, I've been tinkering in the background, working on the Yorkist blend.
That's right.
But I was thinking...
To vanquish the Lancaster blend.
Exactly, I mean, exactly.
Right.
And I was thinking, like, if, you know, because when we talked about it, you mentioned, you know, do you want something with, like, some, like, a revenge kind of feel?
Right.
And that's not really my style of smoking, nor really the emotion that I want to convey with it. But I was thinking about it, if that what kind of that harsher type of smoke would be and if you were to like do it in kind of a piratey vein or something like
we'll talk
after the show.
Sounds great.
But it's not about the villains, it's about the heroes.
Yeah.
And man, I got a fun hero today.
Who's your hero? I mean,
all right, so pipe smokers are often very thoughtful,
right?
And
almost always, right?
And in the comic book world, there is nobody more thoughtful, because he can read your thoughts, than Professor Charles Xavier of the X-Men.
Wow.
Now, much like most comic book superheroes, he used to smoke and he no longer smokes.
Right.
Post the Comics Code that came in and kind of wiped out a lot of violence, kind of the sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
Yeah.
It kind of took it out of the comics for
it
a while.
It took all the fun out, but
right.
Didn't want to influence the children, I guess.
Don't even get me started on that. But anyway, so back before that era, Charles Xavier, many heroes who they wanted to quickly convey the message of this person is smart, educated, knows what they're doing. They have a commanding presence in the room that they're in.
Right.
When they needed somebody to command the
decisive figure.
That's right.
Yeah.
They threw a pipe in his hand. So Professor Charles Xavier, of course, if you're familiar at all with the X-Men franchise, he is a mutant. And in fact, he is kind of the head of the good mutants, so to speak.
Okay.
When first starting out, he and a friend of his by the name of Eric Magnus, or Eric Lyncher, depending on which incarnation you're going with, but ultimately would become Magneto. Two best friends, ultimately down the path to become mortal enemies, go out to create a better world for mutants. Charles Xavier believes that, in mutant equality, and that they should use their powers for the good of all mankind.
As we all do.
Yeah, mutants and humans alike.
Very much for mutant equality.
Magneto was much more of a mutant superiority. And, they pushed back on us. Let's push back on them. And, hey, while we're at it, we've got the powers to do more than just that.
Right.
And so they, very much a symbolic showing of a Martin Luther King and Malcolm X type of embodied superheroes for the mutant civil rights, so to speak. Very, very awesome. So
he kind of looks like Mr. Clean. I mean, he's got a bald head thing going.
Yeah, he's got the bald head, and in his wheelchair is kind of the way that you know that it's Professor Xavier.
Yeah.
I've got some panels pulled up here, and I'll share these on the Facebook page as well.
And he's smoking a straight billiard with looks like a Canadian style stem.
So yeah.
Very, very good. Very good.
So that's wonderful news, Professor. But what about Nefaria and the Unicorn? Shouldn't we catch up with them and recover the $100 million? And then Professor, while he's lighting up his pipe, says, "That would be a most laudable suggestion, Bobby, if they add the money." "What, you mean they don't?"
Such a pragmatist.
Xavier also back in the day had a very kind of chip on his shoulder type of attitude as well.
Yeah.
Like right when he was establishing the X-Men, he also kind of, was a little bit kind of pushing him around a little bit. So it's just funny to see. But yeah, I got a couple panels here. We'll put those up on the Facebook. Really excited. In the next couple of months, we actually have X-Men Days of Future Past coming to theaters.
Yeah.
In which they take the X-Men franchise films from the 90s. No, that wasn't the 90s. The X-Men franchise films from the 2000s and the current X-Men franchise films, and they blend them together.
Wow.
And I'm really excited about it. Like, it actually comes out on my birthday.
Golly.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun day.
You better take the next day off after that.
Oh, it's not an option for me, buddy.
It's not. No, that's right. That's right. For daddy daycare, it never ends.
No, not at all. Well, good deal. Well, those are our pipe-smoking heroes. We want to hear from you guys. We're going to put out some pictures and some fun things and some little factoids throughout the week. But as we're doing so, let us know what you think. Who is your pipe-smoking hero, and who would you like to see on the next episode?
Yeah.
Talking about these wonderful pipe-smoking heroes of ours, especially William Faulkner, every single week we come to you guys and we bring y'all book recommendations.
Right.
How can we not
talk about William Faulkner?
I mean, exactly, right? So you brought a recommendation for us today.
I did, and it's The Sound and the Fury, of course, by Faulkner, which I mentioned, in the earlier segment. And, if you haven't read Faulkner before, you need to at least dabble some in there. This is certainly for the literary mind or someone that appreciates good fiction, but Faulkner's got, you know, several works, Absalom, Absalom, As I Lay Dying, The Sound and the Fury, of course, you know, one of the top few that he's known for. But check this out. It's just really fascinating. It's, you know, of course, like a lot of his work, set in, you know, in Deep South, lots of stream of consciousness. It's pretty dense. But it's a fun book. It's a fun book. And if you can get through it, you can get through Faulkner.
Well, and the great thing is, with this being an audio format, you can listen through Faulkner.
That's right.
It makes it a little bit easier.
That's right.
You know, Audible is a great service. We greatly appreciate everything that they've done for us, and just the ability to have access to the wealth of their library to recommend books to you guys is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
All you have to do, head over to audibletrial.com/CSR, and you can actually get this book, The Sound and the Fury, absolutely free as part of a 30-day free trial. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so nice. You go in, you sign up, you get this book, and if you don't want to stick around with Audible, you can get out and never have to pay a dime. You still get to keep this audiobook, but trust me, you're going to want to stick around with them because it's an awesome service. And yeah. I mean, like, I know for me personally, audio content kind of gets me through the day.
Yeah.
So it's a great service, and we highly recommend it.
Yeah.
And we've got a clip.
We're trying to get you out as fast as we can. I don't want you to get sick. First put my overshoes and overcoat on, and we took my cap and went out. Uncle Maury was putting the bottle away in the sideboard in the dining room. "Keep him out about half an hour, boy," Uncle Maury said. "Keep him in the yard now." "Yes, sir," Verse said. "We don't never let him get off the place."
And again, that's audibletrial.com/CSR for this book, The Sound and the Fury, absolutely free.
Pipe question of the week.
All right, and the pipe question of the week this week comes into us anonymously, actually.
Which is fine.
That's fine. That's always fine. It is, maybe this is why it's anonymous. The question is it okay to grow your own tobacco in the U.S., or does it vary from state to state?
Someone wants to grow some pipe weed.
Yeah. So the legality of growing tobacco in the United States.
Yeah. You know, this is interesting because we have folks kind of come through pretty regularly on this. You know, a lot of them are college kids that are kind of wanting to dabble in this. And, sure. Of course, the Country Squire Radio, you know, boilerplate answer for this question is that you need to follow your local and state regulations. And make sure you are of age in your state and locality of residence and all that.
Very good.
Yeah, my understanding in the state of Mississippi is that you can grow it anywhere as long as you're not selling it or consuming it to underage folk. And then also, if you sell it, you, of course, have to have a tobacco permit.
Right, of course.
Yeah, so, but we do have some growers locally that just kind of dabble in it.
Well, I got to tell you, I've researched it myself.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the legal aspect of it, but we my wife and I both garden. In fact,
avid gardeners.
Yeah. We try to be. Yeah, right. We've got a sister show called Garden Brew.
Yeah.
Where we talk a lot about gardening. We're actually about to finish the first season of that and start the second season with a brand new line of hosts, but that's neither here nor there.
Right.
So we're all about the gardening, and tobacco actually has a lot of benefits to your garden as far as, like, it's very fragrant, but it also keeps certain insects out of your garden.
Is that right?
Yeah. So there's a lot of benefits to actually growing it.
Yeah.
Not like more than just, you know, to smoke it or
right.
do anything else.
Right.
If you actually grow it for those purposes, it's really cool plant. Well, and it's very pretty too.
It's a beautiful plant. It's interesting. I don't know if I may have mentioned this on the show before, but we have a customer in Yazoo City, Mississippi, which is just maybe 45 minutes north of Jackson, which where we're located. And this customer, you know, of course, Mississippi is right next to Louisiana where they grow perique. And so the soil is kind of different in this part of the state. But, you know, this individual wanted to grow some perique. And so he did. He grew a couple acres of perique. And anyway, he dropped a couple plants off by the shop. I guess it was spring of last year. And we grew perique in front of the shop in these huge planters. It was awesome. A pipe shop with perique plants in front of the shop.
That's just so cool.
It was great.
Yeah.
And so, and what's interesting is as they grow up, they get really tall, like corn stalks.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like really, really tall. And so what we had to do, you know, eventually they were just too tall for the front of our store. So we had to lop them off kind of at the top, just like you'd prune anything. We just kind of cut them off. But eventually they flower, and right. they flower this real beautiful pink, almost kind of trumpet looking flower. Really interesting. Yeah. Really enjoyed having that. But when the plant started to kind of die back in the fall and wilt a little bit, what I did was harvested it and then cut the leaves, and actually those leaves are hanging in our right. in our smoking lounge at the Squire. So it's kind of interesting.
Very cool.
Yeah, I'm tempted to cut one of those up one day and try to smoke it.
But, light it on up.
Yeah, I might need someone standing by to take me to, you know, St. Dominic's or something.
Absolutely. Well, that's a great question. And if you'd like to send in your pipe question of the week, you can do so. CSR@potastery.com.
Quick fire with the Squire.
And our quick fire questions of the week. Man, you ready for this?
Bam.
Wake up. It's quick fire. All right. So I'm thinking that the theme here is about initials.
Okay.
Although the last one doesn't really go with that, but yeah, okay. Well, let's just go with that. That's, okay. It's all about initials. FPS or RPG?
RPG.
Okay.
If RPG means role playing game.
Yeah, yeah. First person shooter or a role playing.
Oh yeah, I have to go with RPG.
Okay. Yeah.
Because I get engrossed in the story.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I really do, and I like all the, you know, with the RPG, got to think of all the options and all the back history, and you know your inventory that you have to populate and carry with you, and decisions you have to make. Yeah. Oh man, RPG all the way.
Absolutely. And these days you get to customize your character too.
Right. Whereas, right.
Yeah. So I'm gonna go with the RPG.
Did you ever play Mario RPG on Nintendo 64?
No, I know y'all've got that in the Squire though.
It's a good game.
Yeah, listener, I think listener.
Yeah,
Briar was going to town on that game last time I was
right,
in there.
Right.
All right, IMF or MI6? And I had to look into this. IMF means Impossible Mission Force,
okay.
Like from Mission Impossible, the television show.
Okay,
and
okay.
MI6 is from James Bond.
Right, right. Yeah, I guess I would go with MI6. Yeah, I just like James Bond.
Yeah, you know, I love the first Mission Impossible, but yeah. I mean, yeah, James Bond could kind of...
Oh, he's got like gum that explodes and stuff. I don't know. I'm all about that.
Ethan Hunt had that too. Remember, red light, green light.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
All right, and then last but not least, YOLO or Froyo?
Wow. Wow. I have to go with Froyo. I'm going to make kind of a stand here. I'm against YOLO.
Yeah.
YOLO, like, you know, the concept of it might have some beauty and weight, but every time I see YOLO, you only live once, and it's on the internet, it's accompanied by things I don't appreciate.
Exactly.
I would much rather walk down the street in Bellhaven and get some Froyo.
the spirit of it is theoretically is great.
Right.
However, it's always accustomed with something really stupid.
Really, really stupid.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go with Froyo too.
Yeah.
I mean, there's enough to it. It's all you can eat ice cream, really.
Right. That's right.
Ice cream by the pound, literally. Well, good deal. Send in your quick fire questions to CSR@potastery.com.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
All right. Great listener feedback this week from iTunes. Did you want to take the first or the second?
I'll take the second one.
All right. So first we got Dev982 on iTunes writes, "Wonderful to hear educational conversation. It's like sitting around the pipe shop with good friends." Mm. Awesome. Yes.
Thanks, Dev.
Very educated. Look, whenever JD's in the room, you know you're about to get an education because he's like the professor when it comes to tobacco.
Maybe not as much on Country Squire After Hours with a little Talisker 10-year-old. But
No, it's a good thing.
But generally, yeah. Our second listener feedback comes from Pipe Varmint, and it's on iTunes. Just discovered this great show. Fun, informative, and I love it. The only problem is I wish it was a daily 2-hour show. Tobacco reviews are a great touch. More than just marketing for the store, it's helpful and entertaining. Pipe Varmint, thanks, man. We we really appreciate that. Yeah. I say thanks, man, but thanks to whomever you are.
That's true. That's true. There could be a lady that's out there identifying herself as varmint.
That's right.
So, you know, I'm right there with you. I would love for this show to be a daily 2-hour show. I would love to do a morning show with you every single morning.
It would be cool.
Yeah. It's
too bad, like, you have children to raise and I have, you know, like, tobacco to sling.
Yeah, man. Maybe one day. Maybe one day. But, you know, we always love getting the feedback from you guys. And like I mentioned at the top of the show, next week is going to be a very listener-centric. Send us in your pipe smoking stories. Again, like, you know, and I know, you know, there's just not a pipe smoker out there that doesn't have at least one pipe that has a unique story to it. You know, right. Like one that, you know, they purchased that one for a specific reason, or it was a gift.
Or they connect with it in some special way.
Exactly. Yeah. Like you only smoke that pipe during this type of event in your life. You know, like we all of us have that. And if we don't, we're all looking for that one pipe.
Yeah.
So I know that everybody's got a story either that has happened or that are looking to happen. So send those in. Of course, you can send them in on our Facebook page. You can email the show, as we've mentioned already several times, csr@podastery.com. And then, of course, we've got the new Twitter account, @SquireRadio on the Twitter. And then the store?
@_CountrySquire.
And then, of course, you can follow the exploits of myself and Mr. JD.
Yep.
I'm @TheRealBoYork.
And I'm @JohnDavidCole. John is with no H.
All right. Well, man, this is a good show. We appreciate you guys for tuning in
on
the live show.
Yeah, thanks for tuning in. Absolutely.
And we will talk to you all next week.
Have a great night.
A member of the Podastery Network. For more information on this and other shows, please visit podastery.com.